The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When, if ever, should a Christian be rebaptized? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's Tuesday edition of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got one of those questions that keeps you up at night, I hope you'll zap it to us. We do email radio@faithalone.org. Hopefully, we'll hear from you. Now let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I am Bob Wilkin.
Bob. I really appreciate all of you who are listening, and here's something that you can do to help us. If you go to iTunes or wherever you're listening, Stitcher, I think we might be on Spotify, just give us a rating. Rate it. Give us 5 stars, 4 stars, preferably 5 stars if you like us. You know, but give us a rating, because the more ratings we get, the more will appear on the search engines. It kind of shows that people are listening to us.
Good.
In fact, I was just talking to someone a couple of weeks ago who said he was just on iTunes and he just searched for Christian podcasts and ours came up. And I think ours came up because we have a lot of good ratings, and it actually really, really helps us if you do that. And the same thing for our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is growing. We're uploading at least one video a week. Our subscriptions are up. So why don't you go and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like our videos, do all that kind of stuff. It all helps, because all these things go into search engines, and the higher you turn up in a search engine's search, the more likely you're going to reach people who are kind of just randomly coming across your page. And actually, those are the people we really want to reach with the Grace message, the people who kind of come across us randomly. We want to reach the fish in our pond. That's you guys, you faithful listeners, faithful readers. But you also want to reach the people outside the pond, and search engines are a part of that. Isn't that weird?
I just answered a question yesterday from Latvia.
Latvia,
you know,
yeah.
Where Latvia is? Yeah, Latvia, yeah. Estonia, Lithuania?
Yes.
I know, since you always beat me in countries of the world.
we haven't done
that in months, but Sean
we
used to get 194 or 193.
Close
the
to
best I've
all
done
of them.
Is like 183, so I'm just happy to get Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania.
We'll have to try that again. Okay. Well, do you want to talk about some mind-blowing questions here? Here's an easy one. And this is kind of an illustration of what we were just talking about. This is from Charles, and Charles says, I was raised in a church that teaches Lordship salvation. I was quote-unquote saved and baptized back in the 90s. After years of struggling with that doctrine, I stumbled across your YouTube channel. So here's an example of someone just stumbling across us.
Yeah.
I'm now trusting Christ for my eternal life and in Him alone. And my question is, do I need to get rebaptized? And I hope it's not a dumb question. No, it's not a dumb question. We get that question asked quite a bit. And it's something that Protestants and Baptists have kind of struggled with over the centuries, right from the get-go of the Reformation. And the Anabaptists, that means the rebaptizers.
Right.
We've been talking about this type of issue. So, yes, what would you say?
Well, I would say this comes close to home, because I was baptized as a baby, and that's a little different. I assume Charles was baptized. Does he say how old he was when he was baptized in Lordship Salvation?
He does not say, no.
Okay. But let's say he was a teenager, and he was baptized in a Lordship Salvation church. And now he's come to faith in the free gift of everlasting life, and he realized that when he was baptized, he wasn't born again. Or maybe Charles has doubts about whether he was born again then. In any case, it seems to me, like in my case, I was baptized as a baby in the Orthodox Church, the Serbian Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
And then I came to faith at age 20, and I went ahead and was baptized.
Right.
I would suggest to Charles that it's a matter of personal conscience. In other words, if there's a possibility, a distinct possibility, that he was born again when he was baptized at whatever age he was, then I don't think it's essential that he's baptized again. On the other hand, if he's sure that he wasn't born again at that point, or at least highly confident he wasn't born again at that point, I would suggest go ahead and be baptized again.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dave and Linda Renfro, good friends of ours, they went to Israel a year ago. She was on a singing tour and stuff. While they were there, she was rebaptized in the Jordan. Well, lots of people have been baptized again in the Jordan because they wanted to be baptized in the Jordan.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with being rebaptized, even if you're a believer the first time, unless you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it to impress people or something, sure, that would be wrong. But, you know, it would seem to me it's a matter of personal choice. He has been baptized before.
Yeah.
And if he was possibly a believer at the time, then no need. And by the way, I should point out both Luther and Calvin were so opposed to Anabaptism. Anna basically means again in Greek.
Yeah.
So Anabaptists baptized people a second time because all these people in the 16th century were people who grew up Catholic. So like me, they were baptized as babies. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So then they come to faith as adults, and the Anabaptists taught you should be baptized as a believer. And so they went ahead and were baptized. But both Luther and Calvin were so against it, they put people to death who rebaptized.
Yeah, or at the very least, they drove them out of the countries. They drove them from their homes and took their property and all that stuff.
Now, I should mention that they didn't actually do the putting to death of people. It was their followers who did that.
Or the governments.
Or the government. Yeah. But in Geneva, the church was the government.
Sure.
And the elders in Calvin's church were the ones that decided the fate of the Anabaptists. I remember one of them said to Calvin, just take my life. Don't burn me at the stake. Just kill me. You know, give me a quick death.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that's not up to me. That's up to the leadership. And the leadership burned him at the stake.
Oof, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that makes this question different for us than what it was in the Reformation, the Catholic Church, Orthodox Church, even for Lutherans, I'm not really so sure about Calvinists. I don't think for Calvinists, but for Lutherans, Catholics, Orthodox, they thought you got regenerated at baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baptism changed you from an unsaved state to a saved state.
Even as a baby.
Even as a baby. And so for them to get rebaptized was even more complicated at the very least.
It was a denial of the power of regeneration.
Basically, And that was tied into the power of the sacraments, and that was tied into the authority of the priests, and that was tied into the authority of the church. And so it was all very, when you got rebaptized, you're basically denying all of that theology and basically, you know, going against all of European society at that time. So it was a very radical move. But for us, the reason why, let's say, Linda Renfro can get rebaptized, quote unquote, in the Jordan is because to us, it's just more of a, it's an outward symbol.
Right.
Nothing changes about you when you get baptized in water.
Right.
It's more of an expression of your faith.
Right.
I mean, I don't think I would get rebaptized in the Jordan. I would feel like that was just superstitious, you know, like what's the point? But like you say, it's up to your own conscience to do that because you're not getting regenerated. You know, that's not what you're saying. It's like almost like renewing your marriage vows. Would you say it's kind of like that?
Yeah, it is kind of like that. And some people really like to do that and some people don't.
Right.
And you're probably the one that's not going to do it again.
I would renew my marriage vows. I've talked about that. I wouldn't get rebaptized. Why would I? I don't know.
I know the Jordan would be kind of cool. Literally cool.
I'll go swimming. Yeah, I'll go swimming in the Jordan, but
all right.
I don't know. Okay, now, that was a fairly simple question.
That was most of our time.
Okay, here's a totally bizarre question.
Okay, all right.
Bizarre. This is totally bizarre. This is from Christopher. He says, this probably sounds ridiculous. And with this, you might finally say, now we've heard everything. Okay, first, actually, Christopher, I think you're right. So here's the question. He says, what if theoretically someone believes in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life with the intention of getting into heaven so that they can curse God or perform some other type of heinous act before God to fuel his selfish pride or allegiance to the devil. So,
okay.
And now, Christopher, thank you for admitting that this is a crazy question.
It is a crazy question, but basically what he's asking is rather simple, and that is, if you believe in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life, but you do not have good intentions moving forward, does it count?
If your motives are wrong, does it count?
Well, basically what he's asking is, if a person is not committed to following Christ, can they be born again by believing in Jesus? Or do they have to be committed?
Right. It's just by believing.
Because, okay, he picks some bizarre example. of, you know, they're going to curse God or they're going to do this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But the point is, if they understand what Jesus said in John 3:16 is true and they believe it, then they know they have everlasting life and they can't deny it.
Right.
Once I'm a believer and I know I'm a believer, then I know I have everlasting life. And regardless of what it is I want to do with that life,
yeah,
I can't change the fact that I have everlasting life. So if my motive in getting everlasting life is wrong, you know, it doesn't matter, because the issue isn't my motive and what I wanted. Motive is probably the wrong word. The question is, what I plan to do with everlasting life is beyond the point.
Yeah, I was thinking of a slightly different approach to this question. To me, it's kind of silly to think that someone can plan to have everlasting life in order to do something else, because you don't really choose to believe. To me, what I hear in that question is there's a choice. I'm going to choose to believe so I can get into heaven and like curse God or something. The silliness of the example is that's not how faith works.
Right. Once we believe it, it's true of us.
Yeah, once you're persuaded, you're persuaded, and your plans, your motivations, that's a secondary kind of concern. If anything, I would think that hating God and cursing God, that would be something that would probably prevent you from coming to faith in Christ.
Right.
You know, that wouldn't be something that would help you come to faith.
Right.
So if you take the choice element out of it, those motivations are going to, I think, prevent you from coming to faith. But if you did, if someone thought about this promise, and even though they were kind of hostile to God, but they're thinking about this promise, if someone who just hates Christianity, hates Jesus, and hates all that stuff, but reading John 3:16 and reading something else, and somehow it just rings true, and they finally get persuaded that it is true, they have that life, even though their motives need a lot of sanctifying.
Right. So basically, this is kind of a modified form of a lordship salvation question.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, thank you, Christopher, for that weird
question.
And
that's your middle name, right?
That's my middle name. If you have weird questions, don't send them to us. No, you can. If this is your safe place to ask weird questions, then send them to us. But if you have any other questions on the Bible and theology, we'd love to hear from you at radio@faithalone.org. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and review. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what Jesus meant when he asked for this cup to pass from him. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.